Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Oh, we could top yesterday. Because our hour number three yesterday was on ESPN2, and, like, you know, we really had to deliver at that moment, right?
Oh, my shoes are off. Corn chips out.
Oh, yeah? Feet up. Shoes off.
That's when you know you never know what's going to happen off when camera. I got my feet off.
Like, can't we turn the TV lights? Can we turn the TV lights off, though? Because it's like this hot with these lights on.
Yeah, this reminds me of TV, like when we were like after 3 o'clock, you wake up, you sleep in, and you got the little bars on there.
Mm-hmm. The color bars? Yeah, that's what's on our monitors right now. But it's hour number three of Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bar, when it's hour number three of Barton Hahn, what's that mean?
It's the power hour.
To do that, we bring as much power to the show as we can.
Oh,
I thought you were done. So let's do that with our good friend Marcus Spears, Swagoo, our ESPN NFL analyst. How we doing today? Happy holidays.
What's up, fellas? Happy holidays, man. I hope y'all had a good Thanksgiving, brothers.
Now, your alter ego is Swagoo, and I saw the smoked chickens and all that stuff, but is it Chef Goo when you, like, you're cooking? Is it Chef Goo?
It's Goo. It's just Goo, Bart. Goo in the kitchen. Cooking. You got to say both of them twice.
Goo, speaking of cooking, are you a Cowboy? Who you have more faith in closing the show, the Cowboys or the Dolphins? Because I got the Dolphins maybe coming back to reality and maybe not making the playoffs. Yeah, I said it.
Why?
They got to go out west. We're going to find a lot about them. When they go out and they're not in the confines where the conditions aren't great, they got to go back to California twice. We know the Chargers can put up points against anybody. And then they got to go play in Orchard Park, and they have to go play in New England January 1st. So I want to see if the cheetah – I've never seen a cheetah with skis on, or I've never seen a cheetah with ice skates on. I want to see how tough this team is without Armstead. So I don't know. I'm just saying. You heard it here first, Swagoo.
First of all, all right, let's kill the Tyreek Hill in the cold. The man played in Kansas City and still killed everybody in the cold weather.
Well, I'm talking about Tua. I'm talking about Tua and his arm strength in the cold. He's talking about he got pretty balls.
Tua arm strength ain't been strong, and it ain't going to get stronger. It's accuracy and his ability to get them dudes in favorable situations to run after the catch, man. You know this part.
But I'm saying deep, Swagoo.
What's up?
I'm saying deep with the 20-mile-an-hour winds. When you take that element away from their game, when they go play in Orchard Park and they go play in New England, like, now they got to play small ball. Can Tua be good that way?
No, I feel you, bro. I feel you. And honestly, man, like, this week will tell us a lot. Now, I agree. I think the San Francisco 49ers defense is great. But if we're going to talk about who Miami has played, let's also talk about these offenses that the 49ers defense has played the last 4 weeks. Okay. If that's what we're going to use, it doesn't mean I don't believe they're good. I believe both of the units can travel and play well against anybody because, really, like, the confidence that I have in Miami is it's not predicated on Tua being a big-time quarterback. He's just exceeded expectations. The one thing about Tua coming out of college was his accuracy, and that's come to full circle based on what we've watched this year. He's playing with a lot of confidence. He got a tremendous play caller that understands his skill. And it's not too dissimilar to what Jimmy Garoppolo is being asked to do in San Francisco. It's just Tua is doing it at a higher level. So I don't know, man. I mean, I agree with you. I think the weather is a thing in Buffalo. I think the weather is a thing in New England. But going out west, to me, Tua from Hawaii. So I don't think I don't think that's a big deal. He's going to face a tougher defense, and we'll see what Miami is. But I ain't ever seen anybody stop Tyreek Hill, and I don't think Jalen Waddle get enough credit. The move they made to get Jeffrey Wilson, I think, is going to play huge dividends for them in the run game. The one concern that you brought up, which I think is huge, but I think it would be bigger if you played in a more traditional offense. But Teron Armstead not being available is still a big deal. But this offense ain't predicated on Tua standing back there for 5 hours either. So I think their formula works. When it comes to the Cowboys, the confidence and probably the reason why I have more confidence is because it's just an easier road on their side of the schedule. I mean, on their side of the conference. You know, I think Philly is the king of the hill in the NFC. And who everybody thought in Minnesota, Dallas beat them 40-3. And San Francisco. And I know San Francisco record is, but we all know what the hell San Francisco gearing up and getting ready to do. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think this year of most years, it's ripe, honestly, for Philly and San Francisco. Dallas can do it because they run the ball well, but I don't really have that many reservations about Miami because I don't think anybody in the AFC plays a bludgeoning type of football.
Swaggoo, let me ask you about a team that doesn't look like they're going to go to the playoffs. Looks like their season, you know, is heading in the wrong direction, and that's the Green Bay Packers. Yeah. And Aaron Rodgers saying
they're not going to the playoffs.
Right? Yeah,
like,
exactly. No, I get it.
They're not going.
Well, so I'm going with what Aaron Rodgers said, which
they're
is
not mathematically. I know what you're about to say.
Yeah.
They're not going to the playoffs.
Okay, but we can all agree then that we believe that they are not going to the playoffs. Okay, good. So with that preface,
we believe it.
Aaron Rodgers says, "I'm going to play." Right? That I don't care about doctors. I'm going to play. Is that the right thing right now for the Packers to have him play instead of just see a month of Jordan Love before they've got to decide what they have in him after? And I feel like that fourth quarter made me want to see more from Jordan Love. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, the fourth quarter, I agree with you. You guys know I'm very critical of Aaron Rodgers and some of the things that he says and his actions. But I actually respect this. I respect this a tremendous amount because I've never talked about Aaron Rodgers' competitive nature or how good he is at the quarterback position. We all know that he's elite. And I tweeted out during the game, I was like, man, Aaron tough. And he's been tough. He's played through some stuff now that he hasn't expressed. So I guess this is, in a way, me giving Aaron Rodgers a compliment. Now, the other side is, you damn right I want to see Jordan Love. And Green Bay should, too. Like, dude, are you going to draft a dude first round and never know if he can play football? And you got a quarterback, regardless of if Aaron decides to come back next year or if he comes back the next 2 years and plays out the contract, you still need a damn quarterback after he leaves. It ain't like you're working in a 5 to 8 year window. With him being around, and at some point you're going to want to make a move and get younger at the position and try to restart what you have. You got young receivers in Dobbs and obviously Christian Watson. You're probably going to want to allocate more resources to other areas. $50 million ain't going to help you do that, Cuff. So I think a lot of it, huh, I'm in agreement with you. But I just had to give Aaron Rodgers that compliment because I give him hell most of the time.
See, Swaggo, and I want to give it back because I think this is arrogance and this is narcisism. Because you know that old adage that you lose them the way you got them? Well, how did Aaron Rodgers get the starting spot? He was drafted late. Brett Favre was like, what the hell are we doing? And then Brett wouldn't talk to him. Brett wouldn't help him. And then eventually he showed enough because Brett got hurt. And showed the organization in the NFL that he was ready to go. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is like,
you think he blocking that?
Yes. He's playing because he's like, yo, if this dude go out here and play, then it's a conversation that's going to be had in the offseason. Like, hey, Aaron, we may want to trade you. Because I don't believe Aaron Rodgers has a no-trade clause. But just imagine if it's the same situation that the Jets have with Mike White. If Mike White takes the Jets to the playoffs and wins a playoff game or anything like that, it's a real conversation. Like, this guy can be our guy. Much like, you know, Kirk Cousins became the guy, but it was supposed to be RG3, and it turned out Kirk Cousins was the guy that played longer and got the money and was their quarterback for a long time. Now, if Jordan Love balls out for six games, right? If he balls out for six games, you're like, man, we can maybe get the Russell Wilson package for Aaron Rodgers. We can send his ass down to New Orleans, who's so desperate for a quarterback now. They'll give up their next 10 first-round draft picks, and they have players to give. They can give us some defensive players. They can give us a Marcus May if we want. They can give us some two good players because you think Fant and the defensive tackle that Seahawks got are starters and major contributors. But everybody they got in that draft – is based off the Russell Wilson picks, and they still have more picks coming.
I agree with you, and the conversation for a trade will be high value. I think the money makes it difficult, though. And like I said, man, I was talking about this yesterday. I think I'll get up on one of the shows. Bro, Aaron Rodgers is going to determine what happens in Green Bay. What makes us think that after what we've watched the past 2 to 3 years, that the front office or Matt LaFleur are going to make a decision about who plays or not? Now, I agree with you. It could still be out of arrogance and out of what we've grown accustomed to seeing Aaron Rodgers do. But ultimately, regardless of that, Bart, and I agree with you and I'm with Hun about wanting to see what Jordan Love can do. But we know Aaron Rodgers is better than Jordan Love. That's what we know.
Yes, right. Of course.
But with that being said, I'm focused more on what are you going to do if Aaron wake up next the five out of the next 10 Wednesdays and be like, I don't want to play there no more. And I said this a year ago, and I got crucified. I was like, Green Bay should trade Aaron Rodgers now. Mm-hmm. That was a year ago. And I get it. That was him coming off of two MVPs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was not about his ability to me. It was about where are you going as a franchise? Because to your point, Bart and Hunt, eventually they're going to enter this fray into just being in the middle of nothing.
Yeah, you don't want to be the Steelers.
Yeah, and trying to figure out, you know, what should we do now? You don't think Pittsburgh nervous about if Kenny Pickett is the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the same place the Giants are. The Giants after Eli Manning are in the same place.
going against Deshaun Watson, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, you got the worst. You're not going to have a lot of success. But a team, if you trade Aaron Rodgers, a team can eat some of that money, right? They can split that salary cap. You know, so it's ways around his contract. They can give him a bigger extension and prorate it. And make it so we know that's a way. We know that the Saints were willing and found $70 million underneath the couch to try and get Deshaun Watson. Yeah.
What I mean about the money is actually not the amount. It's after he flexed power without the money, you relented.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like we know that bro, I'm not a big – I fight with Mina Kimes about this all the time. The salary cap is a figment of my imagination, of our imagination.
Yep.
Like, yeah. I feel like and I know people – I'm being facetious when I say that in totality. But teams that want Aaron Rodgers, they're going to figure out how to get it. That's why that is always my point when I talk about the salary cap. But the other part is, bro, you gave him $50 million after he flamed you.
Yep.
So, honestly, like, once you did that, you gave Aaron Rodgers the full autonomy to decide what the Green Bay Packers' future is going to look like. Unless they had to come to Jesus and they'd be like, we're going to take our power back. And I just, like, based on how their head coach talks, the things that we've seen transpire about how to, like, trying to keep him flying to California and we're going to wait on Aaron and he don't have to come in all season and all of this stuff, bro. And look, I'm a big proponent. I never was an all-pro pro bowler. I was never a guy that everybody waited on in the organization to see what my decision was going to be. You earn some of that. I'm not naive to believe that you don't earn some of that. But in this particular situation, the reason why I've been so hard on Green Bay is that this man told you for 2 years at every turn, you ain't good enough for me. And you capitulated. So now you're going to, like, get stern and say, nah, we're going to sit you and we're going to play Jordan Love.
Yep.
Man, please.
if you're invested in the franchise, that's the right decision to make. But Aaron Rodgers has never really been invested in the franchise. So that's why this is where
Over
it is.
Over the past 2 years, no.
Or maybe they just have to be mathematically eliminated. We all know that they are. We all agree that they are, right? But maybe once that happens, then he'll relent. We shall see. But Swaggoo, we'll leave it right there. It's always great to catch up with
Chef Goo Goo.
That's right. Thanks so much for the time. All the best to you.
My brothers, IP.
All right. Marcus Spears, one of the best we have, ESPN NFL analyst. It's a great conversation there on Green Bay and really where it's going from here. All right, we have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More trust factor as well. How about the NFC West? One team seemed to be in control up until now. We'll do that after Bart tells us about O'Reilly.
Oh, have a car problem, but don't know where to go. Maybe you're miles away from home when your car breaks down. Let O'Reilly Auto Parts help you. With O'Reilly Auto Parts shop referral program, take the guesswork out of finding a great shop wherever you are. Call an O'Reilly location near you or visit O'Reilly.com and click on Find a Repair to find a reputable repair facility or service center nearby for your repairs. Just try it. Get some air freshener here. My corns are out.
Yeah, we definitely need some air fresheners in here. Just chilling with you on a rainy Wednesday in New York City, all around the country on ESPN Radio. It's Barton Hahn, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So, as we do the trust factor thing, Bart, the NFC West had a surprise team in the Seahawks that got off to a great start. Geno Smith having that, renaissance year for him. And since then, they have sort of, become what we thought they would be. And actually, we thought they'd be terrible. So maybe they're not what we thought they'd be.
They're
but
still right there.
They still won three of the last five. It's not like they've been terrible, but they have lost their last two games. But they've fallen out of first place in the division, which they kind of had held for the whole season. The 49ers now have that division. This might be obvious, but I'll ask it anyway. Trust factor in the Niners and the Seahawks. I think there's pretty strong trust. You heard Swaggoo say it. It's pretty strong trust in what the 49ers are, and as Swaggoo said, what they're about to do. Right. Like, we know what's coming. But how about Geno and the Seahawks and Pete Carroll?
They're a tough team. They're very well coached. They're playing better defense. They run the ball. They play a physical brand that usually translates in the months of December. Now they have the Rams, no Aaron Donald, ankle sprain, no Matthew Stafford. That should be a win.
No Cooper Kupp.
Right.
So a lot of weapons missing from that team.
So then they have the Carolina Panthers. So they should be able to be, I think they're going to be 8-5.
Okay. Well, would put them, again, depending on what the Giants and the Commanders do. The Giants and Commanders play each other, so somebody's got to lose that game.
And then they have San Francisco. That's going to be a tough one, but they played San Francisco tough the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City, you say that's going to be a loss. They got the Jets. Who knows what that's going to be? But then
it could be a huge game for both teams. Could be a very important game for the Jets.
But then,
where is that game?
That game is in Seattle.
Oh, okay, all right.
And lastly, they end with the Rams again. So at that point, Week 18, they're going to have all their veterans not playing.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a walk-in game. So they'll win three for sure. They should win three out of their last games. That puts them at 9 wins right there.
So right on the bubble.
Right. So they have, especially in the NFC. That means what the NFC East is going to do.
Yes. The NFC East might dictate a lot of things here, right?
Yeah.
And we already said our trust factor in the Giants is waning. We don't really have one because of their injuries and the fact that they all play each other in a division.
They have Philly twice, and
the Commanders twice.
Yeah.
So that's four games. And then I believe, then they have one more against the Cowboys, right?
So, no. They played both of their.
They
lost on Thanksgiving.
That's right. What am I saying? That just happened. They have the four. They still have four divisional games that are always going to be difficult. And where they are with the injuries, hard to believe. So they might be the one that drops out, and that opens the door for Seattle. Correct.
Right. Exactly.
So that's the trust factor there is sort of based on what we see from the Giants. See, I'm looking at the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons have been a team that I feel like shows you that they're going to be something, but not this year. because they've had – you talk about snatching defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, their defense.
I mean, they have found a way to lose a lot of games. Now, you could say, well, there's one game they should have won. That's that Bucks game where they got the bad call, roughing the passer.
No Kyle Pitts.
But
he's done for the year. So that's,
they still had to score. So you can't assume they would have won that game. You could just think they would have had a chance to win it. But the Falcons feel like next year they're probably going to be a really good team. But this isn't the year.
I just don't know if they found their quarterback. I mean, they got Rimmer. That's the guy that they drafted. You know, Marcus Mariota plays well in spots, but you can tell it's a certain way that they have to play when they have him. You know what I mean? So it's going to be funny to see what they do in the offseason. They traded Calvin Ridley for a fourth-round draft pick.
When do they give Desmond Ridder a shot this year? Like at some point just to see him? I mean, you can argue that they're still in the hunt.
They're still in it.
But are they?
Five and seven, a divisional title is a divisional title. You just don't put the record up there when it's bad.
I don't know.
I mean, do you believe in these?
I think the only team that you could talk about in the NFC that is – this is basically an eight team, right? And so I'm going to put it at Giants, Commanders, Seahawks. The only legit – playoff, and there's three teams fighting for two spots.
But right now,
is that fair?
Right now, the Falcons are tied with the Bucks. They both got five wins.
I know, but I mean, who again? Go back to trust factor. Who do you trust is gonna get the job done?
But this was funny.
What?
Guess who New Orleans plays this week?
The Bucks.
So if they beat the Bucks, it'll be a three. And Atlanta loses, it'll be a three-way tie for first place.
Which is just stupid. Which is just stupid, isn't it?
It's time to get Jameis another shot. We can win a division title, baby.
He wants to play, but
I broke my back.
What's wrong with it?
It's spinal.
Yo, if the Bucks lose this week, you could possibly have a three-way tie.
Are you really rooting for the that's chaos?
Yes. Because I remember the Seattle Seahawks won the division at 7-9, and the Saints had to go all the way up there.
5-8. Well, the Bucs would be 5-7.
I understand that because they had a bye. Yeah. Somebody still has a bye somewhere.
I guess.
But I'm saying, I'm just going by win totals. And, like, listen, Atlanta has the Steelers, so they can win that game.
Oh, my God.
Yo, it could be a three-way tie.
That would be epic.
And how do you not go for Jameis Winston after that?
Dalton got you there.
Dalton got you where?
He got you into a tie for first place.
Jameis got you the first win before he broke his back.
That is so crazy. Multiple fractures.
But the crazy thing is, right? Remember that Seattle team?
Yeah.
That was 7-9.
Yeah.
I
know.
And Seattle and the Saints came out there and lost to beat the Beastquake.
The Giants was 7-9. They were 7-9 and ended up going to the
Super Bowl. So what I'm saying is, you play it, and if you can add a playoff win to your total, who cares how you got it? Like,
all right, so we're rooting for chaos.
Yes,
that's who we're rooting for.
Of course.
Saints have to beat the Bucks. Let's have some chaos. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We continue with your calls. Also, let's revisit some comments made by a former NFL coach about one quarterback situation that we're watching closely. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Yes, you can. Spartan Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career you love with flexibility, great pay and benefits, and one of the country's top workplaces. Come join their growing team. Go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. So this story's circulating, Bart. Just want to get your 60-second take on this. So being reported that Russell Wilson's wife, Sierra, threw him a birthday party yesterday.
Mm.
And according to the report, about half the team attended, which has a lot of people thinking, like, this is that draft day thing, right?
Yeah.
Where the guy had a birthday party and nobody showed up?
Bo Jojo.
Okay, Bo Jojo.
Yeah.
Do you think that's an odd thing that the quarterback has a party and only half the team goes?
Nah, I mean.
You mean Bo Callahan, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. You're never going to get 100% participation. It depends. It depends on how many people didn't show up that was invited. It's a lot of guys that don't get those hall passes out. And because Sierra threw it, maybe, just maybe, wives will go out to it. So it becomes a cornball session, right, because there's a bunch of wives there. And then you got single guys. It's like, man, I ain't going out there. I'm going to sit up there. People telling me, seeing what I'm doing. You know what I mean? So it all depends on it. I would have to see, you know, who showed up and why they showed up and who they showed up with
All right.
To see if it was a total diss.
Okay. So you're not looking at
it. A lot
of
people might have showed up just because Sierra threw it
and
not because they really care about him.
So, but this isn't for you the Bo Callahan thing, like from draft day, right?
It could
be. Teammates just don't like him.
It could be.
Yeah. Well, we saw some, I don't know if it's animosity, but we definitely saw some of that.
I mean, when you're on one side, you're number one on one part, number 32 on the other side, yeah. You know, it's like, yo, yeah. Man, come on, man. God,
right. Can you just stay on the field for a minute?
Can you not just be the worst?
Just like, don't be the worst.
You could be in a low 20s? Is that too hard to ask y'all to be low 20s?
32, good Lord. How about?
And then you go into the receivers and the guys that were there before that was playing well, and they're like, man, it ain't, man, this dude, hey, I don't know what's wrong.
Well, that's the quarter of a billion-dollar problem that Denver has right now, and they got to face in this offseason when it is coming up. But the Jets and their quarterback situation, like I said yesterday, the Jets don't have the worst Wilson quarterback situation. The Broncos do, but they still have one of their own, and that's their number two pick, Zach Wilson, who's now been benched for Mike White.
Yeah.
And Mike Martz, who, again, was the head coach of the Rams, he was the offensive coordinator when, you know, the greatest show on turf. They won a Super Bowl. It got to another Super Bowl the year after that. And he likened this, the Mike White story, as far as going with a guy that just looks right, no matter where he came from, it doesn't matter. He's doing what we need him to do. To Kurt Warner, like to Mike White and Kurt Warner. Like he made that parallel. So we had him on earlier in the show. For those who might have missed it, Mike Martz, you know, I asked him to just take us through the comparisons that he sees and why he makes this comparison between Kurt Warner and Mike White.
The comparison between the two is how quick the ball comes out and how accurate it is. I was amazed at how quick he got the ball out, how sharp everything was, how quickly he saw everything. And I thought his decisions were not just good decisions, excellent decisions, but they're done so quickly. And his footwork is really good. For a young guy, the footwork is everything. And I want to keep watching him. That's not a fluke now. He stayed very composed. It's not too big for him, and he has the physical abilities. That was my – just watching him, I just remember Kurt just flashed in my head because the ball comes out so unusually fast, and that's what you want.
And those are the things he talked about. He says how quick the ball comes out, how accurate it is, the arm strength better than he thought it was in Mike White. It was a fifth-round pick for the Cowboys. And then he has said the question you have to ask yourself is who takes you or who gets you into the end zone? That's the most important thing. And what Mike White has shown us is the ability to do that. Now he has to prove that he can do it consistently. And if he does, you know, Robert Saleh has said, Bart, that – eventually, Zach Wilson will be back. They want to get him right, whatever it is. If it's a you know a physical thing, a mental thing, or both, footwork thing, who knows? But whatever it is, he said, like when he's ready, he will come back. And Mike Martz said, not so fast.
Well, I think when you make that move, you're making that move to make him the quarterback for the rest of the season. I mean, I don't think you can make that move and go back and play the other guy. That just never works. I think that's probably what they're saying. I would think so. After this year, it's hard to say. You know, Brady was, what, a sixth-round pick, and he came in for an injured top-round pick because they had been playing the league for a long time. And
first $100 million quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And so the big deal is, you know, who gets your team in the end zone? Who moves the team gets in the end zone? Will you pay him $10 an hour or will you pay him $30 million? You know, whichever guy it is, that's, you know, when you walk on the football field, when you come out of that locker room, actually, when you walk in the building, we just tell our players this, contracts don't have any bearing on anything. It's about you competing and winning and getting the job done. And I think that's your focus.
I mean, that's where they are, right, Bart? That seems to be where they are. And it's going to, I guess, this now is being dictated by Mike White.
Yeah.
And his play. Is it not?
Yeah.
Because if he just roll, or at least, and he's not going to be perfect, right? He's going to make mistakes. He's going to do things that are going to make you say, all right, there's the glitch, right? There's the flaw. But it's how he manages those things that make you decide, do we have something or not? You kind of, for right now, know what you have in Zach Wilson. You need to figure out what you've got in Mike White. And if at the end of this season, if you aren't satisfied with what you have in either one of them, it's going to be a tough offseason.
Yeah, as long as Mike White don't throw three interceptions, he might get away with two if the team's still playing well, he's moving the ball, and they're winning.
Right.
But as long as he doesn't have one of those games, like when he came back and he played against Buffalo and threw four picks, as long as he doesn't have that type of situation, he has better weapons this year. And last year, you know, there was a lot of tip balls on those interceptions, going for, like, you know, trying to keep up. But as long as you don't have those, I think he's going to be the quarterback until the end of the season. And if he leads them to the postseason and he plays decent, it's a real discussion to have.
And he stays QB1 throughout the offseason. Spartan Hahn brought to you by the Home Depot with everything you do to make projects smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll be playing Trust Factor throughout the show. How about this, Jets fans? Your Trust Factor and Mike White as your QB1 for the rest of the season. We'll ask that question, and we'll take your calls on it next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Do you want more cooking raw? One last time. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Presented by Progressive Insurance. We got your calls. Let's see the trust factor that you Jets fans have in Mike White. We go to Brendan in Jersey. Brendan.
Hey, boys. So Jets have a quarterback problem. Packers have an organizational problem. Mm-hmm. What do you think about Rodgers getting traded next year, be the Jets quarterback, final piece?
Brendan, haven't we done this before? Didn't we go down this road before?
I know.
And that's a
Isn't
lot of
great?
Assets. No. Brendan, I would not. I don't know, man. I know it's Aaron Rodgers.
You're going to give up your two first-round draft picks and players, young players.
I know. You guys know the details better than me, but isn't that something to talk about?
No, that's a no-go.
That's a no-go.
The Russell Wilson trade was two starting players and two first-round draft picks, a couple other picks. Like, nah. You're in a good place now to be able to – you know, put a good team up there. You're going to strip all the things that you will need to be successful. And then when Aaron Rodgers says, I want to go hang out in a teepee next year, you'd be stuck with nothing.
That's what I mean. Like, he had a hard time with his own young wide receivers. Look, Mike LaFleur, you know, obviously would have that relationship already built in.
That doesn't mean nothing. So
much to give up.
That wouldn't do it.
And the cap hit.
He's only there for a year.
So your depth gets gutted, right? You can't keep everybody. And then you don't know how long you have them for. It's seriously a rental. It's the Brett Favre thing all over again. And I know that Brett Favre thing started out well, but
it didn't end well. It still didn't get him to the postseason.
It did not end well, no. Jerry's in Florida. Jerry?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Good. I appreciate you guys taking my call. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
What's happening?
Just a couple things I have to say. Not much about the Jets, the fact, but I'll just say real quick about the Jets. I think they need to go ahead and stick with what they got with White in there, because you got to go with the best that you have and the opportunity you have going right now. And they're playing a playoff push right now, and they don't need to be playing around. They need to stay with White.
Yeah, go with a guy that's steady.
Yeah, but secondly, I was calling in regard to the Dolphins. Now, I'm a Dolphin fan. Been a Dolphin fan for quite some time. I missed your show yesterday. I got pieces of it on the internet, listened into it, and I was listening to Bart talk a lot about the Dolphins. And look, Bart, I know you got a lot of hate with the Dolphins. You're an ex-Jet player. And look, I understand that. But listen to my point here. I want you to understand this. With all you other – I appreciate everything that you guys are doing when it comes to talking to all these teams and giving your input on what you think and this and that. This has been a really tough year to be a Miami Dolphin fan. I could tell you why. Because of all the haters that are out there hating our team. And the reason why I say it is we have a quarterback that you know, was out for three games this season. We all know what happened to him. We don't have to explain. I'll have to explain that to you. Came back from a very strong concussion, which yourself and other people were saying that they didn't think he should come back.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's came back, and with him, we're 8-0. We continue to do well. And, I mean, just give this team some credit. I mean, I don't know if it has to do anything with what's happened with Miami in the past in regards to the owner, Stephen Ross, Brian Flores, all the future stuff that happened in the past. Maybe that's what it is. I have no idea, and they just don't want to see the Miami Dolphins succeed. But I tell you right now, look, you got to give our team credit. All right, they're pushing hard. Tua has come back from this concussion. He's come back strong. And one last thing before I hang up, MVP. Remember what MVP is, most valuable player. This guy has been valuable to this team. He was out for three games. We lost all three games. And you see what's happening since he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs some strong, very strong consideration
the MVP. Can I ask you, who he beat since in those last four games? Well, this is where the hate comes from. It's not hate. Here's where the hate comes from. You have to consider, and I say this about the entire NFC East, too, when I talk about the Dolphins, when I talk about the Eagles. What we're talking about is who can win a championship. And you can win a lot of regular season games. There's been a lot of teams that do that in every sport. But, you know, you're measured, you know, by what you do in the postseason. And it's my job as an analyst to see how styles match up in the postseason. I'm negative about the Dallas Cowboys. I say that realistically, for the most part, when you think about who can really win, it's usually about four or five teams that are really strong contenders. Now, sometimes there's always outliers that surprise us, like the Philadelphia Eagles,
mm-hmm.
like the Green Bay Packers when they were the sixth seed, like the New York Jets, like the 2000 Ravens. But I can't go with those type of trends. I have to go with what I think as far as looking at them stylistically and also as far as how they match up against the field. And all I'm saying is we're going to learn a lot more about this team in the next three games. Now, my opinion may change in the next three games when they go out and show me that they can beat a very tough 49ers team, then come back and beat the Chargers, and then have to face the Buffalo Bills in tough situations and tough environments. And then I'll be able to say, okay, well, maybe I was wrong.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm going to stick with my original thought.
Well, it's what you're forecasting, basically, what you see ahead. And, Jerry, one thing I'll add, and I appreciate the call and everything that you laid out, is I always wondered why fans care so much that their team is winning and that people on the outside that aren't fans or maybe in the market – are just not buying into your team yet. And why that bothers you, like we all call it hate, right? Oh, you're hating on us, where it's just all it really is, Jerry. And again, thank you for the call. It's just, I'm not bought in yet.
It's my analysis.
It's just all, and you could say, well, Bart, you're a former Jet, and Han, you're a Jet fan. That always comes into play when they play head-to-head. But once all that's out of the way,
I'm just
looking at them as a team in the league, like any other team in the league, and I look at it and say, I got to see it. And that's it. And if you think that's hate, it's not. It's you don't have that past experience that I can look back and say, well, you know what? Like the Bills. Man,
yeah.
The Bills went toe-to-toe with the Chiefs. Toe-to-toe. Really could have walked off that field winners. In fact, we wanted more game. We argued about why there should have been another possession. You and I fought the next day about
that.
And
they changed it.
But that's why I'm like, you know what? I've seen the Bills go toe-to-toe.
Right.
In the biggest spot, on the toughest stage,
no
they were there. So I expect it.
It's no history.
I don't write.
It's no history.
You
can
say, well, Tyreek Hill did it. He did it with Patrick Mahomes
right.
and Travis Kelce. Of
and
course
Andy
he's
Reed.
Done it. Hey, Andy Reid. Like, he's done it there. I got to see it here. And Tua as well. Tua has showed us
healthy.
Success in Alabama and all that stuff. Stay healthy. So it's all those things, everybody. That's all it is. It ain't hate. Bart and I,
it's analysis.
We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.